Welcome to Genius is Your Birthright with transformational life coach, Christy Carotti. Throughout this six-week program, you will have your imagination ignited, your intuition electrified. You will strengthen and expand your memory in a very interesting way, sharpen your reason, and expand your powers of perception to an unprecedented degree. With these tools, you will learn that you have these extraordinary faculties and how to unleash them. Without them, nothing is possible, but with this understanding, everything is possible. This material is standalone, but you will hear reference to supplemental material on CDs, which you can purchase from Christy Carotti. This week, in Lesson 3, Christy takes us in depth into our faculty of intuition.
Hello and welcome. This is Christy Carotti, and this is Genius is Your Birthright. We're studying today intuition. But first, I wanted to start at this really important place of moving into both the place of gratitude and the place of something you have accomplished, something that you're proud of, so that we start moving into this work from that place. So take a moment right now. And hopefully have a piece of paper in front of you. And just think of something that you're grateful for. And we can be grateful for so many things, but be grateful for one thing, for this purpose. And then move into a place of being proud of something that you have done. So it's not proud of someone or something else. It's really proud of something that you have done, because we are creating a vibrational frequency here. For me, I feel it in my heart area. Some people feel it in their solar plexus. Wherever you feel it, let it in to feel that gratitude and to feel being proud of yourself, and allow that to amplify itself within you. And that's what we're moving to match, is that sense of who you become when you're proud of yourself, who you become when you operate from gratitude. So we are moving into intuition, and this is one of the most powerful, and it's kind of funny, you know, they say it's one of the most powerful all the time. But one of the things I find really incredibly fascinating about this work of looking at our six faculties is that these are things that are our inherent nature. When you're a swimmer, you have very different muscles that are strong than if you're a high jumper or a runner. Or probably yoga, too. And what's really wonderful about this is that we have the ability, if we know, if we are aware that we have these six faculties, and we learn how to exercise and strengthen those faculties, we have the ability to use them in a way that helps us create the life we love to live. And you know what? Even more than the life we'd love to live, the life that brings greater love and life to the world, to everyone around you. And this last week for me has been, once again, one of those weeks where I really get to put this stuff to the test. And I just think, you know, why do these things happen to you? And I think that number one is I am committed to going deeper, being clearer, and that all of these things, some of you know who Ernest Holmes is, he said that this work is about bringing the subconscious to the conscious so that it can be healed. Okay, now we don't always need to know everything that's in the subconscious, but it's a tool that we can use of bringing the subconscious to the conscious to be healed. And I think that that's the work that I'm in and I'm about right now. And one of the things that I learned this week is, once again, not learned, but re-strengthened in myself, was just absolutely how important it is for us to all be in this work and having a coach. And I think I mentioned a lot of the things that were going on with my parents, and I just felt like I stayed in a very centered place through all of this and really could see myself standing firm in a universal truth while dealing with the facts that I had to deal with. And as a result of that, I had amazing manifestations of things like this apartment for my mother and various things. So last week I was in the emergency room with my father, and it was 10 hours before he was checked into a hospital room, and finally they're talking about feeding him, and he's diabetic. And you know, I observed myself wanting to get angry and furious. And I went, I am a person of increase. And being able to pause yourself and stop in the moment and say, I'm a person of increase. How can I be a person of increase in this situation? And so to me, it was another one of those practices of how to stay in that place of being a person of increase. And as a result of that, I just keep thinking, I do this work, I do this work, I do this work. So last night, get ready. We were supposed to have a kitchen by the end of this week, and my friend that's been having us over for dinner occasionally says, I want you to come over for one last night before you get your kitchen. So we're prepared, and she's Mexican, and she makes delicious Mexican food, and she was going to make tacos for us, and we're really looking forward to this. And it's 5:30, and we're supposed to be there at 6:30. And my dad calls. My doctor says I need to go into the emergency room. She thinks I might be having a heart attack or something wrong with my heart. And I just sat there and my whole frequency just shifted into the victim. How come this keeps happening to me? And wait a minute, I was going to dinner. And I went, no, this is not who I am. And I almost couldn't crawl out of this. And I texted my coach and I said, I need support. I can't seem to get out of feeling like I'm a victim here. And she gave me what I've probably given you guys many times along the way, is the pause, take 3 deep breaths. She told me to breathe in, take 3 deep breaths, and then sit and be in the silence. And the reason that I'm sharing this story with you and why I share stories with you is because these are things that really teach us and ingrain this in a deeper way inside of us. And so it was like, oh, of course. I just needed somebody to, you know, those movies that they show when somebody gets slapped on the face and they come to their senses. Well, thank goodness it wasn't a slap on the face. It was stop, take 3 deep breaths, and sit in the silence and remember that you have within you the ability to access that universal truth. Feel into the power of what is being told to you here. You have direct personal contact with the mind that knows everything. Now, you don't want to know everything. You want to know your answer. And she said, my coach Kirsten said, sit, be still. And I did that. And I sat here instead of like flying out the door. I told my dad, call an ambulance. I'll meet you at the hospital. And I sat here in the stillness and I went, he's okay. And this is a good thing. And I just sat here and I just felt so incredibly supported by the universe. And then I went, okay, now it's time to go. And I went and met up with them. On the way, I called my friend and I said, you know, I don't know if we're going to make it or not. And she said, well, you know, have Jerry and Aaron come by and if you can't, and I'll send food home for you. And so as opposed to the week before when it took 4 hours before he even got in the emergency room and 6 hours before he even saw the doctor, we're sitting in there and probably no more than, I don't know, 45 minutes. Well, no, it couldn't have been because I ended up sitting there. The doctor came in. They'd done the tests that they needed. They're going to monitor him. And my dad says, I'm fine. And I felt like he was fine. Go to your friends and have dinner. I went to my friends and had dinner and was supported by being in that place, knowing, and I have direct phone contact with him and everything, that he's fine. They're checking on things. So, you know, they checked his heart and everything first. It wasn't a heart attack. What they think it was is that he had this big coughing spell and there's inflammation in the ribs after, you know, the stress on the ribs like that. And it just happened that it was in the area of his pacemaker and his heart and so forth. His doctor and the cardiologist she consulted with said he needs to go in and be checked. So we did that. And that's what I felt like, he was going in and be checked. And we're paying attention to this, but we're not paying attention to the illness or the condition. We're paying attention to making sure that things are handled. We are taking care of the facts while holding the truth, the universal truth, that a divine action is in place right here and right now. We have the idea that his heart problems and all of his health problems just disappear. And that's what healing is. That's not always true, and it's sometimes very difficult. That healing is, it shows up in many different ways. Healing shows up in experiencing discomfort. My healing is in dealing with, you know, the anxiety of my parents going through the things that they're going through, and then being able to come back to center. It's a gift. This is divine action in place. Not that my father should have to suffer. That's his story, and that's his journey, and that's his experience, and it meshes and melds with mine. So what we're talking about today is how to know, how we develop, how we strengthen that muscle of the intuition. I love that Bob Proctor talks about it in a very scientific way. You know, this is what happens in our physiology of our brain and the way that we think. And he talks about that. And then he talks about the idea of, he calls it the stick man, the idea of bringing the subconscious to the conscious. And when we do that, when we go even beyond that, so that's the first step, is to be able to allow the subconscious rise to the conscious to be healed. And then to go even deeper to that, to stand in that truth that there is a universal truth. Now, there's a really great image that I like on how, so I think that's really a great, valuable tool, and he has you use your intuition to, your imagination to imagine this. And I like the image of a movie camera. So to think of, like, the connection that we have with the universal being the light of an old-fashioned, now you have to say old-fashioned because everything's digital, but an old-fashioned movie camera, that the light is the source. The light projects to the screen. Okay, and that's like the universal truth, and it's all there and it's all available to us, and we just have to figure out how to refine the film we put in front of it to reflect onto the screen the life that we want to experience and that we want to share and give as our gift to the world. And so it's about being conscious of what that film is that we put in front of it. And so if we don't know we have that control, that's when the subconscious is controlling what we have in front of the screen. And that's why we bring the subconscious to the conscious, so that we can choose. Because not everything in our subconscious is negative by any means. And the paradigms are not all negative paradigms. There are just paradigms that we want to change. And so you also want to spend time sorting that out. And so it's about being at choice. And just like paying attention to the facts, but not holding to it being a universal truth that my dad is whatever. You know, that my dad is even his diagnosis. He is not his diagnosis. My dad is this free-flowing, fluid expression of life that has this film in front of it, and it's not even necessarily negative. He loves his life, except for when he has the aches and pains and the heart problems and things like that. He lives in a great senior apartment, and he goes on his scooter. He plays bingo. This is retirement for him, and he is enjoying it. So how do we strengthen and how do we develop this? Well, what I did that my coach reminded me was to be still. And I think it was Bob Proctor said that we've got to learn how to be quiet, and it's through meditation. And so the first tool I think we need to make sure we're on track with right now is a daily practice of getting silent and being still. Now, we use the creative way as a part of the morning practice to move us into the right brain instead of coming from the analytical or left brain as we move into our morning. Now, many of you here have a meditation practice that goes beyond that. And one of the, if you're working on developing that, I still think the 5-minute candle meditation is a great place to get started at really sitting in the silence. Now, why do we sit in the silence, and how does that help us tune into our intuition? Well, this is how it works. When we sit and look at a candle for 5 minutes, we have a set time on it, and we look at the flame and we say in our mind, because our mind just wants to bring pictures and wants to chatter and wants to talk, we stay focused, and a way to do that is to say, candle flame, in your mind, candle flame, to continue to focus on that one particular, you can do this with anything, you know, you can focus on the door handle, whatever, but you know, the candle's a beautiful image of light and everything, candle flame, oh look, it's flickering, there must be a wind going on in here, who's blowing the candle? Oh, yes, back to candle flame, candle flame, candle flame. This is how this works. It is a strengthening of being able to be in control of your thought process rather than your thought process being in control of you. And you strengthen that. And I cannot even say that I've gotten through 5 minutes without my mind wandering. And it's totally okay. It's not about judging yourself. I mean, that doesn't help us. It's about saying, wow, I'm doing this practice on a daily basis. It's just like running a marathon. You go out and you spend every day and you increase your time. And you return back to that focus. So how does that help develop your intuition? Well, that helps you stop the chatter and be able to have that connection with that quantum field that already knows the truth, that has everything available to it, that universal mind. And that's one of the ways that we start to strengthen our intuition. And then another thing that we want to do is we want to listen. We want to listen to if we have a voice that we recognize. And as we sit in the silence, and I like to check in your body. I like to have you, and I want you to think about this now. As I mentioned at the beginning of this, when I really check in with my intuition, it's in my heart and in my solar plexus, kind of in that range there. And I can feel it if it's true. I had this experience one time when I was hiking. You, some of you may have heard this story. It's another teaching story. I was hiking in the wilderness, had never been in the wilderness, was walking with this guy who had invited me, and he said, we're going to put you in front, because I kind of set the pace because I was a little slower than everybody else. And he came to the spot, and he said, you're supposed to go along here. And I said, I can't go along here. I can't do this. Why can't you do this? I feel like it's dangerous. I can't do it. He says, okay, fine, I'll go first. He went in front of me, took 3 steps, and tumbled down a 75-foot embankment that was on the edge of us. It just was not safe, and he just thought it was safe. My intuition stopped me dead in the tracks and would not let me move forward. And he ended up being okay. He ended up being fine. But I knew in that moment, I trusted my body, and I couldn't even move my body. And we have that connection within us to know, you know, when we go to the car dealer and we're trying to buy a new car and we kind of get swayed in this direction, buying a car and being sold a car is a really great service. But it's sometimes really hard to stay in touch with our intuition where we're in environments like that. And even in that, he really kind of was disgusted at me at that point in time and thought I was being ridiculous. but I had to trust my intuition. So we find that place in our body where we can trust our intuition, where we can trust our gut, and we try it on. And a great saying to ask yourself, is it for the good of all and to the harm of no one? And I don't believe that any step that we take in the direction of truth is going to ever harm anyone. I mean, even if it was, I mean, we can think of cases. It still is for the good of all and to the harm of no one. And I believe that if we are really coming from truth, that is always the truth. So try that on when you want. And this week, your job is, your practice, I should say, is to really stop and pay attention to your intuition. So right now, find that place in your body where you really feel that intuition. There are action steps to take every week. You can do this at any level, and it's your choice. And I'm never going to say you can only benefit from this if you do all the work. That's not true, because the way I started in this work was like a trickle. It's like I would sit on the call, and I would listen. And sometimes I would sit and cry. I never asked a question. And it started working for me. And then I started getting more interested. And I started doing a little bit of the homework and really committing to it. But there is homework in this program. There are action steps. This week, it's identify two areas in your life, business, relationship, finance, health, etc., that you're going to focus on for the purpose of this exercise. To pay attention this week to developing your intuition. I'm just going to encourage you to observe this week, pay attention to sitting still and then opening to hearing that or feeling that place in your body that is your intuition. Pay attention to it. I heard somebody say once upon a time that women have almost been convinced out of their intuition. And when I heard that, I thought, you know, I'm really going to pay attention to my intuition. I think that might be true. Maybe not even just for women. It was the statement the person made that kind of sparked me to think about my intuition. Now, I've even thought that I've been following my intuition and things haven't worked out perfectly. But I believe and trust in developing and strengthening this intuitive faculty. I've actually had to focus on moving into my physical body. I am not a somatic type of person. It was almost an avoidance. It was almost a paradigm to not pay attention to my body. And that's a lot of the younger health issues that I had and things like that. So I've actually had to develop using my body to be part of my intuitive nature. And so really pay attention to that this week. The other thing I wanted to share with you as we were talking about how the universe works, how this works, is it just reminded me of a statement that several of you have heard before. It comes from The Science of Getting Rich, the Wallace Waddles work. And so I want you to listen to this and maybe move into that intuitive place in your body right now and that place, that frequency of gratitude and what you're proud of. Remember, that's what we're creating there. And then amplify it, bump it up a little bit as you listen to this. There is a thinking stuff from which all things are made and which in its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. In other words, it is everywhere present all the time. A thought in this substance produces the thing that is imagined by the thought. I can form things in my thought, and by impressing my thought upon the formless substance can cause the thing I think about to be created. One of the ways that we can do this is through prayer. One of the ways that we can do this is by being in charge of, in conscious charge of our thinking process. And it's like the video that I sent out to you, the cartoon of, it's the same thing. It's what affects the quantum field. It's the observer. It's the person paying attention to what they're paying attention to creates. I love that phrase that Bob Proctor uses is that it goes through the medium of the molecule So we're not talking about, I mean, that's even how prayer works on many different levels. You know, it's our connection with God. It's connection with the infinite. But it is also, because this is part of the system, rearranging the molecule. So we are actually going to study, this is from the Science of Getting Rich, and this is not just rich in money. This is rich in freedom of time, freedom of creativity, of all things. And so there is a thinking stuff. It's always existent. I love calling it thinking stuff, you know. I mean, it just takes you out of all of the paradigms and the chatter and the gremlins and the Delilahs. And it, there is a thinking stuff from which all things are made. So it is a substance. What you remember, first there is always a thought. Everything is made twice, first in your thought and then out in the world, if you so choose to take it into the world. There's a thinking stuff from which all things are made, which in its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. A thought in this substance produces the thing that is imagined by that thought. One of the reasons I want to bring this up to you is really want to encourage you to also, in your daily practice, be reading your vision and be in it. You know, we've talked about stepping into the suit. Be in it and trust that intuition. Develop and exercise that faculty this week of intuition. I really appreciate being in this work with you. I feel honored and very touched to be in this work with you and to be your coach and to be supporting you as you are revealing the life that you love living.
That concludes Lesson 3 on Intuition. In Lesson 4, Christy will explore the will. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Here are two exclusive podcast listener offers. First, for a limited time, podcast listeners can work with Christy in person at a deep discount. Christy offers a unique coaching modality of her own creation that helps clients discover their own answers to where they're stuck and how to move forward. As one of her clients puts it, it always works. This transformative process is designed to help you identify blocks and create breakthroughs in your personal and professional life. As a thank you for listening to the podcast, you're eligible for a special discount. Normally $97 for a half-hour introductory session, podcast listeners get a $70 discount automatically applied if you use this link, masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. That's masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. And that link is in the podcast general description as well. Second, you can get the entire library of Mastering the Art of Life with PDF notes and worksheets for each lesson, plus bonuses at no cost at masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in, all one word, masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in. That link is also in the general podcast description.